broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, soon to be gun-toting again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to be with you. You know, in New York City, I was a member of the National Rifle Association, and that caused a lot of angst in the neighborhood until all the rioting started to take place, and then everybody's looking to me for help. But the reality is, in New York City, it's easier for a criminal to get a gun permit than it is for a law-abiding citizen. So anyway, I'm in the process of getting my permits here in Tennessee, and we're pretty excited about that. Classic Arms of Memphis is my go-to place for guns and ammo when I'm here in our Southern Command, which is Memphis, Tennessee. Anyway, great to have you with us. Hope you're doing great today. A lot of you folks on hold, hang tight. We're getting right to your calls in just a moment. But we've been following the developments out of this autonomous zone in Seattle known as CHAZ, the Nation of CHAZ. And last night on Fox News Channel, I was watching a reporter explain that it really is a peaceful place where folks are frolicking about in the tulips and they're dancing and singing songs and everyone is living in harmony. This is the reporting of Fox News yesterday during prime time. So I figured, what better person to turn to than our good friend Andy Ngo, who is always in the thick of things. He has actually been reporting, broadcasting from the Nation of CHAZ behind enemy lines, and he joins us on the Newsmaker line right now from Seattle. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
And very curious to get to your observations here, because Fox News Channel, one of their reporters last night said that there is no chaos, there is no violence. This is a very peaceful, harmonious group of people. What say you, Andy?
Well, that's right, but it's a half-truth, and I don't think that the reporter is intentionally trying to mislead anyone. The thing is, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone is sort of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, in that during the day when the media crews are there, it's peaceful. Yes, you see people dancing and having barbecues and all that, if you can ignore all the graffiti calling for police to be murdered and the boarded up buildings. Yes, that's peaceful. Well, then at night, the criminal element is much more visible, in that you see open drug use, alcohol use, people walking around with long rifles as well as handguns, batons. There are lots of fights and mini brawls that break out. It's just general anarchy that happens. And unfortunately, it's not contained just to that so-called autonomous zone. 2 days ago, a man on a microphone 6, a mob, more than 100 people on a nearby business, because that business had detained a suspected arsonist and looter from the camp, and somebody from the camp was trying to get everybody to free him out, and police were called, fire department was called, they never came. So it's not this picture that's being painted by many in the mainstream media.
Andy, I'm curious if you could just maybe paint a picture for our listeners. We're talking about a 6-block area of Seattle. I mean, where are these people living? Where are they sleeping and taking showers, going to the bathroom? Where is all of this happening?
So at any given time, there are several hundred up to even several thousand people in this area. It's an occupation in the middle of a major American city. So there are businesses and residencies there who are impacted by the street closures, because barricades have been set up. In terms of basic necessities, people have been getting their needs met in terms of food by donations that are coming from supporters locally as well as nationally. So there's no short supply of food or water or bottled water. That's all being driven in and delivered. In terms of showering, well, there is no shower facility. However, the city has been aiding this zone in providing them with a whole set of porta potties. And I understand why the city did that from a public health point. Otherwise, people would be going everywhere in the parks and streets. And people are already openly urinating, but at least in terms of defecation, I haven't seen that happen openly. So there are porta potties.
Oh, geez, Alu. What disgusting. What do these people want? I mean, how long do they plan on occupying this six-block district?
So you have many different people from the left who have congregated in the space. So you have, I mean, you know, what brought me there was focusing on the anti-anarchist element, those who claim the space and say it's a separate political entity from the United States. They want to burn down the police precinct there. That's there. But there's also Black Lives Matter activists, and they are the ones that are issuing the whole list of demands of defunding the Seattle police, abolishing Seattle police, getting rid of the American criminal justice system, establishing certain different racial, different institutions for different races. A lot of demands that really turns American society upside down and would completely fundamentally change. They're saying that they're not going away until their demands are met. I think it's been a huge mistake of the mayor and also the governor, both Democrats, to placate these people and allow this to continue to take root. And I don't know how the city will actually be able to clear these people if they don't leave on their own free will, because the Seattle police have had all their tools of crowd control taken away from them. They can't use tear gas, for example. And then last night, the city council voted on a ordinance that would ban the use of rubber bullets and all these other non-lethal weapons that are used in crowd control. So there's, even if they wanted to clear people out, there's just so many people there that you can't. So I don't know how this ends, but it's certainly not the block party that the mayor is calling it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that at all. Well, Andy, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate your great reporting, boots on the ground. Folks, you'll be able to watch Andy. He's on Fox News Channel quite a bit, providing some incredible insight. Andy Ngo, thank you. Be safe out there, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Goodness gracious, folks. What a mess that is. You know, President Trump says if the mayor and the governor aren't going to do something, he's ready to jump into the fray. I just say, you know what? Let the local residents handle it. If this is how they want to live, do they want to see their property values go in the toilet? You know what? It's on them. It's a six-block district. I think the country could afford to lose six blocks if need be. But no need for the president to get involved here. Just let the let the people handle it. If that's what the people of Seattle want, so be it. All right, look, got to take a break here. We're going to get to your calls coming up next, 844-747-8868. This is a toll-free number, folks, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So here is the question on the Todd Starnes Twitter feed today, at Todd Starnes, if you'd like to find us on the Twitter feed. Why am I talking in a sultry voice right now? I have no idea why. But anyway, here is the question. Will the NFL allow players to stand for the national anthem? Let me say this again. Will the NFL allow players to stand for the national anthem? Will the NFL protect patriotic players from retribution? Now, I ask this because it appears that Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL found themselves suddenly woke yesterday, and now they're giving permission for players across the fruited plain to take a knee and disrespect America. And I'm wondering, is there going to be any sort of blowback for players who actually do stand up for the national anthem? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the beautiful state of Maine. Gary is listening to us on WLOB. That's the Big Lobster. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. This beautiful day in Maine. Our whole area loves to listen to you. We love you. Just telling you, if I'm up here, we love you.
Well, you're kind to say that, Gary. Good people up there in that part of the country.
Yeah. But like with the police, this is just short and a short story. We need to have the police. And, you know, like you say, most of them are good people that do the right thing. I was severely beaten by the police, you know, about 35 years ago.
What happened?
Well, it came to me. I was in a parking lot. I was in a fight with some other guys. Police came to break it up. I attacked the police force. And I'm a big guy. I'm a boxer. I have a big ego. But it came to me about a year after that, and I have a very assorted past, drinking drugs and everything. But about a year later, almost 35 years ago, I stopped drinking and I stopped doing drugs. And I'm like, maybe they won't take me to jail anymore if I stop doing this stuff. You know, and the cops haven't taken me to jail in almost 35 years.
So
I have become very...
Let me ask you a couple of questions here. I'm curious about this. So you stopped drinking, you stop doing the drugs, you get your life in order, and you tell me that after you got your life in order, you got everything, you're on the straight and narrow, the police stop bothering you.
Yes. And I went back to the police force when you said on the last segment, you know, we have to be responsible, because I was in a program and it says go back and apologize for past mistakes. I went back to the police force and apologized to them. You know, four of the guys came out of the force, and they apologized to me. We remember what went on. And I've had a great relationship with the police force. They're not bad people. You know, it was my actions and behavior that caused them to do what they did.
Gary, what a terrific story. And so I guess I it's a small enough town where I guess everybody knows everybody. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, but I was in the bigger city up in Auburn, Lewiston, which is about only a 20-minute drive, but that's where all the bars and stuff are. You know, so I was up there, you know.
But I'm curious, Gary, what was it that sparked that, you know, you're on the wrong path here, you gotta change course here. Was there something that happened to you?
Yeah, I was in a jail cell, blood coming out of my head, handcuffed between the bars, and, you know, all I had to do is I could only stand there and think. And it's like, why does this stuff happen to me? And the light bulb went off, and it's because of my drinking and drug use. And, you know, about 8 months later, I ended up getting sober.
Gary, what a great story. What an inspiration you are to the listeners of this radio program. And, you know, you're right. It's about taking personal responsibility for yourself. You know, we're all screwed up, but we all have choices to make. We can either make good choices or we can make bad choices. And, you know, you got to a point in your life where you decided, you know what, I'm going to start making some good choices for my life. And it's paid off.
Yeah, I was starting to get a rap sheet like most of the other people that get beat up or hurt by police. Most of us have rap sheets, and they know us, you know. And I got a couple of the other ladies in my neighborhood. We love to sit out and listen to you in the afternoon. You know, there's so much good stuff in America. You know, why can't people just open their eyes and know that there's an awful lot of love out there, you know?
Well, that's a fair question. Well, Gary, I want you to, what are the ladies, what are their names, and we'll tell them hello on the radio here.
One of them is Wendy, and the other one is Julie.
Well, Wendy and Julie, hello to you. Thank you for listening to the show, and thanks for taking care of Gary here. And Gary, I got to tell you, so I want you to give us a call back one of these days. Man, what an honor to have you as a part of our audience.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Todd, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you.
All right. God bless you, Gary.
You too. God bless you.
What an inspirational story. What a good man right there. A good man. And it's a lesson for all of us. And I have to imagine there are probably some folks out there living a rough life right now. And maybe you're on the same path Gary is. And, you know, for Gary, it took sitting in a jail cell, bleeding from his head, and finally the light bulb came on, as he said. My goodness, what a great testimony there. All right, let's go to North Arkansas. Louise is listening to us on KARN. Hi, Louise. What's going on today? Isn't that a great story?
Yes, it is. I really enjoyed. And I just thank you for all that you do, Todd. And a great shout-out to our President Trump. He's doing a wonderful job. And I take my hat off to him. And if God is for him, he's better than the gang members and all the leftists in the world against him. And I just thank God for President Trump. I feel safe already.
Well, sounds like you're a big fan. Are you going to go up to the big rally in Tulsa? I know that's not too terribly far from you guys.
Not too far, but we probably will. But if not, we will be supporting him, you know, in other ways. But this president is—he's a law and order president. I love listening to him. He's a great spoke. I believe he's honest, and I believe that he's there for a reason for God's people. And I just thank God for him, you know. And I'm an African American, and I don't like to be stereotyped, you know, because I'm black. But I like to thank for myself. You know, people, you know, can't thank for me. Like, you know, Joe Biden, he was saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And I know when I look in the mirror what color I am.
Good for you. Good for you, Louise. You know what? You're a patriot is what you are. And you're a great American, too. So good for you. Louise, give us a call back sometime. I tell you what, folks, I just love our listeners. You guys are just awesome, just flat out awesome. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, Tony Perkins, Trish Regan, Jerry Falwell Jr., we've got a full house today, folks. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Want to say a special hello to all of our brand new listeners across the entire state of Nevada. Great to be broadcasting this program on the Nevada Talk Network. So howdy do to all of you folks. And just a reminder, all of our Nevada listeners for this month, you guys get an incredible prize package. If you call in and you make it on the air, all you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, yesterday on this radio program, breaking news that we covered from the Supreme Court, the shocker that Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Neil Gorsuch sided with the liberals to really stick it to people of faith in this country. There's really no other polite way to say it. It's an ugly thing that happened up at the Supreme Court yesterday. And here to talk about it, a good friend of this program, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. Tony, good to have you back with us.
Todd, great to be with you today.
Look, a lot of people that you and I both know, very disappointed in what happened up at the Supreme Court. I want to get your observations on the ramifications of this decision.
Well, this was, you know, a flashback to what we have seen in the past years of an activist court. I mean, instead of being a judicial body, the opinion handed down by the court yesterday in a 6-3 ruling made the court look like an uber legislative body, taking a word that has been in law going back to the 1960s, of 45 years, going back 45 years to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, to take the word sex, which was a definition of biological sex, male and female, and do what the legislature, the Congress, has refused to do over the past 45 years in changing that term, to basically say that it means anything. It incorporates gender identity. This sets up a further collision course between religious freedom and these ever-changing definitions of sex.
I was reading Justice Sam Alito's dissent last night, and it's pretty lengthy. And he is very concerned and in some way insinuating that we could be facing a tsunami of lawsuits targeting churches and Christian businesses and people who might be, you know, their hiring practices are in line with the Bible's teachings on sex and marriage.
It's a Pandora's box. This case has opened that up to where you will have litigation, and then each one of those cases are going to end up going before the courts, and the onus is going to be on the religious employer, even potentially the church, to defend their right to uphold historical and biblical teaching as it pertains to human sexuality. I mean, let's keep in mind what this case was all about. This was about a family-owned funeral home, Christian-owned, over 100 years, been in the family, and a guy who had worked for them for years as a funeral director who interacted with their clients who were grieving. He decided, I'm going to come back from vacation, I'm going to be a woman, I'm going to dress as a woman. Well, so the funeral home owner, let's just say, wait a minute, that's not going to work. We're here to service our clients, our customers who are grieving, not for you to make political statements. That's what we're talking about here, a privately owned, Christian-owned business. So, yes, it's not a stretch to say this is going to affect all employers, including those that operate according to their faith.
And if people think that this is hyperbole, Tony, I think they just need to look at what's been happening to Jack Phillips over at the Masterpiece Cake Shop, where Jack Phillips actually won his Supreme Court case, and yet there's, you know, the militant LGBT crowd is still targeting the poor guy.
Right. Again, that's what I said. The onus will be on that Christian business owner. The onus will be on the church that will be targeted with this. This will be used as a club to try to beat Christians and other people of faith that hold to the biological definition of human sexuality and the historical application of that, to beat them into submission to these ever-changing, ever-expanding definitions of sex. That's what it's going to be used as. And so what's required, Todd, is that people of faith in particular and others who care about this country and care about ordered society, civil society, they stand up and say, enough is enough. We're not going to yield to this. Bring on the intimidation, bring on the attacks, but we're going to stick together, and we're not going to allow a vocal minority to redefine this country and destroy it. Because that's what we're going to see happen, is that this unleashes chaos, cultural and legal chaos on our society.
And it was done again, time and time again. This is just mind-boggling, Tony Perkins. It's happened because judges appointed by Republican presidents made those decisions. Chief Justice John Roberts, Justice Neil Gorsuch. What in the world were they thinking?
Yeah, again, we see Roberts, this is not the first time Roberts is disappointed. It's becoming a pattern for him. Gorsuch, you know, I've had a number of conversations just in the last 24 hours on this, and there were warning signs on Gorsuch, but they were pledges by those that were a part of the process in the administration. I think this is a clear warning that you're going to have someone that has a clear record that is has no question marks when it comes to these key issues of the Constitution and what the law is, and that the court is not going, these judges are not going to serve as a legislator redefining terms that should be left to the Congress to do. So we just can no longer take anything for granted when it comes to the individuals that will be appointed. If there's question marks, move on to the next candidate. They need to be open. They need to be clear about the fact that they will adhere to the Constitution and the Constitution alone.
Going back to those, and again, going back to the Gorsuch nomination, you said that there were assurances given. I mean, do you feel comfortable naming names? I mean, do we want to start talking about these? Because, again, I mean, people are putting their, you know, the reason they're supporting this president is because he is putting those strict constitutionalists on the courts. And I sure hope that the administration wasn't snookered here.
Well, I think you're going to see more information come out in the next few days about that. But there were questions regarding this line of issues and interpretation of the law when it came to human sexuality because of some associations of Neil Gorsuch. But again, there were those that were handling him, those in the administration that were, clear, saying that these were not going to be issues. Clearly they are, because this was a stretch. I mean, this is not, we're talking about a word in 1964 that was placed in the Civil Rights Act. We're talking about Title VII. When the term was used, sex, there was no question in anyone's mind in Congress or in the public what that meant. It meant male and female. This was designed to give women a fair playing field. Now it's being used against them. I mean, this is going to be this ruling will be used, no doubt, in cases that are making their way through the pipeline right now as it pertains to women's sports. Because once you open this door and say, well, for this purpose of federal law, sex means can mean sexual gender identity. Well, if you set it in this category, how can you not be consistent and say it applies to this other category as well? This way, this is more than a slippery slope. Yeah. This is a downward hill dive that the court has put us on, and it's got to be rectified.
On the Newsmaker line, our good friend Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, and folks, one of the most influential people in our nation's capital on issues regarding the family. Tony, do we have, at this point, a conservative majority on the Supreme Court?
Well, if you would have asked me this last week, I would say we were at that point because Roberts was kind of playing that Kennedy position of being a swing vote from time to time. I'm now concerned that what we see is an ideological divide, not a legal divide. You know, we talked about looking for strict constructionists, for textualists, those who look at the Constitution as it, what was meant by it when it was written, when these amendments were adopted. What did they mean, the originalist view? That is what we, when we talk about a conservative, that's what we're looking for, those that aren't going to create law, whether conservative or liberal. We're not looking for conservative justices who will legislate. That's what Congress is there for. But in this case, there's no escaping the fact that this was a legislative decision. I think Alito has taken on the role of Scalia. He clearly points this out in his dissenting opinion in this case. And we just got to be very, very clear about this. We need judges who will look at the Constitution and the law, because that's the agreement by which the American people agree to be governed by their elected representatives. And when you start changing terms, you get into very dangerous territory. And this is where you get to a point where the people will no longer agree to be governed when people arbitrarily change terms. This is dangerous ground, Todd. Very dangerous ground for the court to be taking the American people.
Tony, I know that you have connections inside the White House. What has been the White House reaction? I mean, the president yesterday coming out and saying, you know, we accept the decision. What are you hearing?
I think, again, you're going to hear some more probably in subsequent days. But I have not spoken to anyone within the White House in the last 24 hours specifically about this case. But I think that as the information settles in and the breadth and depth of this decision, the impact of this decision, I think you will probably hear more. Because I can tell you this, those that supported the president are not at all happy with this decision. Now, I'm not saying they necessarily point it back to the president, but it was his administration that put forth the candidate. There's going to have to be assurances that greater efforts will be taken to vet these candidates in the future, because we're going to see vacancies coming forth, if not in the next 6 months. It certainly will be in the next term we will see vacancies on the
court.
Well,
I will say this, Tony. I got my hand spanked by the administration because I was not a supporter of Gorsuch, primarily because of the religious affiliations. The family belongs to a liberal, left-leaning, pro-LGBT denomination, and I had some great concerns about all of this. And I was taken to the woodshed by the administration over this. And now here we are. And I'm telling you, the administration needs to be very, very careful with how they handle this, because if everybody got snookered, or if they tried to pull a fast one, I think the president's going to get blowback on this.
I don't disagree. I mean, those points that you just mentioned were brought up. And again, that's why I'm saying with those things, they matter. They absolutely matter.
So you're saying, and I don't want to put you on the hot seat here, Tony. So, but you're telling it seems as if more information is coming out very soon about this.
I would say so, just to the points that you've raised and those that raised those points before, and assurances given that that was not the case. We see now with this decision yesterday that those issues were valid. Those concerns were valid.
Mm. All right. Wow. Tony, look, we appreciate all the insight and the information. And, of course, Family Research Council, you guys are doing some terrific work. And, you know, we're in for the long fight here.
We have no other option. This is a country we love and a country we will stand for, and we stand for truth, and we'll continue to fight for that truth because it's essential for the future of this country.
All right. Tony Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, president of the Family Research Council. Tony, thank you.
All right, Todd. Great to see you.
And folks,
have a good afternoon.
We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Got to tell you, folks, I hope you were listening to that interview with Tony Perkins. And Tony Perkins is, he's a straight shooter. He really is. And he is a man of conviction. He is a man of truth. And something's not right. And you have to go all the way back to the early days when Neil Gorsuch was presented as the nominee. So the question at hand is this. Who was it in the Trump administration that told President Trump Neil Gorsuch is the guy? That's the question. That's your bad apple right there. Whoever that person was, that's the bad apple. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. And my question to you, before we'll bring Joe from LJ here in just a moment. My question to you is this. Do you still support this president? It's mighty clear to me we do not have a majority of conservatives on the Supreme Court right now. And that's for me, that's the only reason I was supporting this president, Supreme Court. That's it. Supreme Court. If we're going to get liberal justices, what's the point? You know what I mean? All right, let's go to the phones. Good friend Joe from LJ. Joe, good to have you with us. I know you've been holding on. Thanks for doing that.
Todd, you got a great show. Now, I agree with you. I'm very disappointed in Gorsuch, and that goes, I guess that, and I love President Trump, but it goes back to him. He's got to make sure that he appoints conservative justices. And I also think that you need to always stand for the national anthem, and I totally support the police. And Todd, you've had just a wonderful show. By the way, the stock market's up 600 points today because the retail sales came in over twice what it was supposed to come in. So although I don't agree with Trump on this appointment, I do think the economy, we got to look at the fact that the economy is, it's amazing that it's doing so well, and the stock market with all the, you know, with all the negatives going on with the coronavirus. But anyway, your show is great. You're doing a great job for the American people, and I hope that we can get people in the Trump administration who will, as you say, make sure that they're appointing conservative justices, which is not the case with, sadly, with Mr. Roberts and Mr. Gorsuch. So you're exactly right on that. And Todd, you're doing a great job for the American people, and I really appreciate you, and it's always great to be on your show, and just thank you so very much.
Joe, you're kind to say that, and I appreciate those kind words. And you know what? I was thinking the reason why those retail numbers are so high, Joe, we had to buy all brand new furniture for this radio station I bought. So I think we may have skewed the numbers
you're
a little
the
bit.
Economy. You're helping the economy, Todd. You're great. Keep up the great work. Proud
all
of
right.
You.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Wayfair. That's all I'm going to say. My goodness. Joe is right. And again, listen to, did you hear the tone and tenor in Joe's voice change? And by the way, he is a top political operative in the state of Georgia. The guy is so well connected. But did you hear the tone of his voice talking about this issue with our president? If whoever is giving the president advice on this, this is a very, very bad situation. If the president does not have the full support of the evangelical Christian community, he will not win re-election. And I didn't, you know, maybe we should have seen this coming. I don't know. But folks, are you concerned about what just happened on the Supreme Court? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.